have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and here we are right after this week's election.
Why are we still smiling? Anyway, there were some scary right-wing results on Tuesday, but there were also some big victories for out LGBTQ candidates across the nation.
And we will certainly let you know the details.
We're gonna cheer you up.
Almost all of them. But meanwhile, there's good news from the Supreme Court of the United States. Who can believe it? It is not interfering with the decision that a trans man can sue a Catholic hospital that denied him a hysterectomy.
Okay. And the U.S. Senate confirmed the first out LGBTQ woman to serve on any federal circuit court.
Yeah, it's excellent. Now, the real thing going on here are these reports from school and library wars over LGBTQ issues all over the country. We're going to talk specifically about Texas, Wyoming, Florida, Iowa, and Massachusetts. It is awful.
And apparently a lot of that is in our future. Actor and civic activist Cal Penn comes out in his new memoir.
And a trans security guard died protecting others in the Idaho mall shooting.
A pioneering gay erotic filmmaker, Wakefield Poole, director of Boys in the Sand, has died at 85.
Italy blocked a bill that would have made violence against women and LGBTQ people a hate crime. And we'll report on anti-LGBTQ hate crimes in Tunisia and Bulgaria.
It's a shocker on Dancing with the Stars this week. JoJo is in peril.
It's a real cliffhanger, or it was at the time. And Broadway celebrates the life of legendary playwright Terrence McNally.
That was the best show I've seen in 10 years, that celebration. I believe it.
Elections. We're recording on Wednesday afternoon, as we always do. So the election results are just in. Some of them are still dribbling in. We don't know, for instance, at this moment about the New Jersey governor's race, although it's looking a little better for the Democrats.
Well, it looks fine for Phil Murphy.
Yes.
But look, my problem is with American people. I mean, yes. We're like yo-yos. We're unhappy, so we're going to change. Now, the Democrats aren't giving us enough, so let's vote Republican, who don't do anything about anything. All right. I mean, this is, I'm trying to be rational, but it's not a rational process for people. It's an emotional process.
Which is why I don't think it's about the Democrats are not giving us enough. Because it's patently obvious that the Democrats are doing what they can and are slowly working towards giving the American people a lot that they need and already have in under a year of the Biden administration. I think it's much more about the emotions of, as Youngkin ran on, taking our country back, taking our schools back. They can't control us. They're doing terrible things in these schools.
That's a much
bigger issue than
that's what they were talking about, and you can argue that it worked, but it's also I'm unhappy. COVID is still going on. I can't get the groceries I want. Inflation, these kinds of things, which are mostly out of the hands of politicians. And of course, if we were still under Republican rule, the amount of death from COVID would be even greater. Anyway, so
I think all that's true, and it's just scary across the board. But on the other hand, you have things like the new mayor of Boston, who is not only a woman of color but a progressive. And that's a huge victory. And Boston is not necessarily the most progressive place in the country.
And Democrats, you know, swept the elections in New York City and, you know, completely swept them. And, you know, Eric Adams, who was elected as mayor, is a former cop, is being billed as a law and order guy. But he keeps saying, I'm a progressive. I'm a progressive. I mean, the last campaign appearance he made before the election was at a gay bar.
Well, you have certainly an overwhelming Democratic electorate in New York City, and the Republicans put up a clown against him. So it's not, you know, if Bloomberg had been running again against Eric Adams, would Eric Adams have won?
Let's talk about who did win in our community. The first picture up there is a record number of out LGBTQ city council members. And let me just go clockwise from the white-haired lady on the upper left. That's Lynn Shulman. And then we have Crystal Hudson from Brooklyn. We have Kristen Richardson Jordan from Harlem. We have Eric Botcher, who's our neighbor there on the lower right. And then, how do you say this guy's name? Chai Ase, 23 years old from Brooklyn, total progressive. And then Tiffany Caban is a far left candidate, and she won in Queens. She almost got elected DA in Queens last year. So, you know, that's a great group of people, and they're going to be quite a force in the city council.
And there were five LGBTQ people on the city council in New York. One of them, Richie Torres, went off to Congress. But everyone, all of the rest of them, were term limited out. So we were facing no LGBTQ people on the city council. But all of these people ran and won. So now we have six brand new ones on the city council. Right. And that's quite a nice caucus out of 51 members.
On the other hand, LGBTQ India Walton, who was the Democratic nominee for mayor in Democratic Buffalo, she was also a socialist, and the incumbent, who's been there forever, ran a write-in campaign and has apparently beaten her.
She's LGBTQ?
She's listed on the Victory Fund list.
And they do only endorse, LGBT. That's the first I've heard of that.
Okay. By the way, if you want to look at the whole list across the country, go to victoryfund.org. And you can, you know, because there were, I mean, this year there were 410 candidates.
They didn't endorse in every race. They endorsed in about 120 races, 130 maybe. They are listing at this moment 72 wins, 41 losses, and 18 races undecided.
Excuse me, 74 wins as of now.
An update in the last 10 minutes. Okay. But let's run through a few other wins. While Youngkin was winning in Virginia, much to our dismay and horror, member of the legislature, Danica Rome, was reelected to her third term in the House of Delegates.
Which will now have a Republican majority.
Will it? Yes. Okay.
Yes, it will. The Senate has like a one-member Democratic majority, but one of those Democrats is anti-choice, so it's tough there.
In Minnesota, out-trans city council member in Minneapolis, Andrea Jenkins, was also reelected to her seat, but trans man Philippe Cunningham lost his race for reelection.
And in Bozeman, Montana, on the city commission, Christopher Coburn was elected. He's the first out LGBTQ black candidate elected in that state.
In Detroit, the Detroit City Council gets its first out member, Gabriela Santiago Romero, originally from Mexico, and now the first LGBTQ member out of the Detroit City Council.
And in Milford, Pennsylvania, our buddy Sean Strube, who's been on the show, a longtime AIDS activist, gay activist, he was reelected as mayor.
In Cleveland, we have our first lesbian on the city council and a gay man reelected to the city council. Rebecca Moorer is the out lesbian on the city council in Cleveland. And in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, a trans man, Dion Marley, was elected to a local school board. More on school boards coming up ad nauseum.
Think about running. You want to go?
Well, that's how the Republicans have gained the strength they have over the years, is because they do run for school boards. They do cultivate candidates there. They do exercise a lot of power in local places and elections, and then they move up. And it is ridiculous for us to ignore things like school board elections.
Right.
In two non-binary candidates elected in Pennsylvania, Xander Orenstein was elected to the Allegheny County District Court. And in Massachusetts, Tu Nguyen was elected to the Worcester City Council.
Can I give some of these Victory Fund statistics on LGBTQ candidates and how they're identifying and how it's changing?
Be my guest.
Because I think it's fascinating in terms of how our people are identifying.
Okay.
Differences from 2018 to 2021 in sexual orientation. There's been 148% increase in those who identify as queer. Not crazy about the term, and I know a lot of our viewers aren't, but that is a big identification. 75% increase in those who identify as bisexual, a 7.3% decrease in those who identify as gay men, and a 19% decrease in those who identify as lesbians. And in terms of gender identity, 100% increase in the number of trans men, 260% increase in gender queer non-binary, and 15.5% increase in cisgender women and 5.4% cisgender men. And in terms of race and ethnicity, 36% are people of color among the candidates now versus 32% in 2019. And so, you know, our community is changing in the way it identifies, and we're getting more diverse in terms of who we're putting up there for candidates.
Evolving.
Right.
Now, moving on, can we move on?
Well, sure. To the Supreme Court, I listened to the arguments over the Texas abortion case. What concerns me is it looks like they're going to, not exactly strike it down, but they're not going to go along with this scheme of vigilantes doing this stuff. But they're going to issue a decision maybe in the spring, by which time, you know, so many women are being denied their rights in Texas, and by which time they'll have heard the Mississippi case where they can strike down Roe v. Wade entirely.
Well, I think they will outlaw the Texas scheme to allow vigilante prosecution of people. But they will severely, severely, severely cut back Roe v. Wade and basically throw it back to a state-by-state decision.
Well, of course, Kavanaugh in the abortion case was concerned that states might deny Second Amendment rights. And by the way, I listened to that case this morning. They're set to let anybody carry a gun in New York now. 43 states have restrictions. They don't want any restrictions. Other than maybe you can't bring it into a courthouse. Kagan was raising the issue of allowing suits against people who perform same-sex marriages. She raised that. So I think they're on to that, the ridiculousness of that scheme, but abortion rights remain in tremendous peril in this country.
And everything's up for grabs, and that includes same-sex marriage. So,
well, Bernie Frank said, "I don't think the court's going to do that."
Please. But the good news from the Supreme Court is that they took a look at this decision from California, where Evan Minton, a trans man, went to a Catholic hospital asking for a hysterectomy. But 2 days before his scheduled surgery, when he informed the hospital that he was trans, they said, "Oh, no, 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 you can't have your hysterectomy here. We don't buy into that for trans people. We are strictly doing that on people we regard as legitimate, and you're not it. So the court in California ruled in his favor and said the hospital was discriminated against him, especially because California has a non-discrimination law. So under that, and the hospital appealed to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has now refused to review that decision.
Well, the hospital wanted the Supreme Court to use this case to finally overturn the Smith Division versus Smith decision, which says if a law is generally applicable, you can't just use a religious excuse to get out of it. And they were very hopeful about this. But Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch wanted to grant review, but it takes four. I'm getting all this analysis from our friend Arthur Leonard, the author.
Well, okay. The fact is that you do need four to agree to review a decision. And that means that Amy Coney Barrett did not want to step in and review this decision, let alone Justice Roberts.
She's saving it up for getting rid of abortion.
No Kavanaugh, no Barrett, no Roberts wanting to review this decision. They were happy to let it stand without review. That I think that's a major victory for us.
Some good news from our Department of Justice, worthy of the name again, at least some, and the Social Security Administration. They have dropped federal appeals against two class action suits brought by Lambda Legal Defense, seeking survivor benefits for people in same-sex relationships for surviving partners who had not met the requirement that the Social Security Administration says you got to be married for at least 9 months so you don't get benefits. Now, in one case, they had a couple of months, but not 9 months. In another case, they weren't allowed to get married years ago, and they're seeking benefits.
Survivor benefits. This is when one partner dies and the surviving partner wants to get Social Security survivor benefits.
And Jim Obergefell says, when I get old enough to qualify for the benefits as a surviving partner, I might look into that. His partner died in 2013. He's the guy who won same-sex marriage rights federally.
Yeah, so the Trump administration, of course, had argued against making these benefits available. So what the Biden administration, DOJ, and Social Security Administration are doing is withdrawing that Trump administration filing and letting those decisions stand.
So the U.S. Senate confirmed Beth Robinson. We have a picture of her. At 56 years old, is the first out lesbian U.S. Circuit Court judge. 51-45 vote, obviously almost all Democrats, and we got Murkowski and Susan Collins from the Republican side. It's the Second Circuit, which is Connecticut, Vermont, and New York. She's been an associate on the Vermont Supreme Court for 10 years, and she was co-counsel on Baker v. Vermont, which gained legal protections for same-sex couples in 1999. There are now 13 out federal judges,
but she's the
870.
She's the first woman. And so now she's on the U.S. Appeals Court for the Second Circuit. Are you thrilled that the Pope said Biden can continue to receive communion?
Don't get me started on the Holy Father.
Oh, I will. But I think it's time to move on to school libraries and the education mess. And we start in Texas, where State Representative Matt Krause is targeting 850 books on race and sex in schools that he says are making students uncomfortable.
He's demanding that all school districts report whether there are any in their classroom libraries. I don't imagine the Bible, which threatens eternal damnation for everyone for eating pork and masturbating, is on his list.
But I keep waiting for the Bible to appear on these lists.
The Bible can be quite disconcerting if you read it.
I think we have a picture of him with his family in church. Yeah.
Well, there he is with his kids. You know, your kids might be gay and lesbian or bisexual or queer or trans.
I don't care.
Well, sometimes it changes people. Rob Portman changed a little bit on that. Anyway, among the titles he wants to ban, The Handmaid's Tale, V for Vendetta. I never read the book. It's one of my favorite movies. The Confessions of Nat Turner by William Styron. And, of course, one on LGBTQ families. And another that shows how the – he wants to ban one that shows how the Nazis modeled their anti-Semitic policies on U.S. Jim Crow laws. He wants to ban people knowing about that.
And others in the Texas legislature are demanding removal of LGBT books and books with black themes or sexual themes from school libraries, and also want to enshrine citizens' rights to not acknowledge same-sex marriages because they still have an anti-same-sex marriage law on the books in Texas.
Oh, and Governor Abbott, who faces a Republican primary next year, has accused the schools of stocking porn in their libraries. But he wrote to the Texas Association of School Boards to demand action, and they say they don't have any authority over the school districts. So the witch hunts continue across the land.
Well, in Iowa, the school district in Waukee, Iowa, is going to review LGBT books after complaints from parents. And they just had a school board election there where there was a heavy right-wing contingent trying to get on the school board. They lost. So that's good news from Iowa for the moment.
But this guy, Vin Thaker, wants parents notified.
Well, he was one of the ones who lost.
Yeah, but he still wants them brought before the board. He wants them to notify parents if they take out LGBTQ books. The library has already pulled a bunch of LGBTQ themed books from there.
Yeah, they're reviewing them. But in Gillette, Wyoming, a prosecutor has decided not to charge librarians for having LGBT books. They wanted to prosecute the librarians, and the prosecutor said, no, I don't think I'll do that.
I wouldn't have a case. One of them was This Book is Gay by Juno Dawson. The library voted to uphold a decision by library staff that moving that out of the teen section would be censorship. Now, kids, when you get a list of books that they're trying to ban, see if you can find information about these subjects on the internets.
And also suggest that the Bible be included on that list.
Yes. In Florida?
Yeah, a couple of, fear-mongering, scare tactic lies. In Wilton Manors, Florida, the right wing is exploiting and lying about and fear-mongering the field trip of elementary school kids in their annual trip to lunch at a local restaurant, which they say is a gay bar.
So there they are. We have a picture. There's the kids at Rosie's Bar and Grill on their annual field trip to learn more about the restaurant business.
Yes.
It's a gay-friendly place. One nine-year-old said, we ate. We had some fun. His mom said they just got to have lunch. It makes them feel like big kids. The Florida Department of Education is investigating this.
Well, because they got these complaints. The complaints cited things like the sort of double entendre menu that is offered to adults in the evening. They ordered off a kid's menu that was written specifically for them.
Well,
they went in the daytime. They do this every year at the school. It's part of their whole range of field trips that teach the kids about various aspects of life. And this is a lesson on how restaurants operate.
It became one of those Fox News or right-wing radio talk show things. And so Rosie's Bar and Grill had to call the police for protection. And the school board member who brought them is getting death threats.
Well,
who are these people, who are so moral that this is the way they want to solve issues by killing you?
It's not that they're so moral. It's that they're liars and they're power hungry people who will go to any lengths to win. And we see another example of it that played out in the Virginia election, where there was a claim by the right wing and all over Fox News that a girl had been raped in a high school bathroom by a trans girl. Well, in fact, she was sexually assaulted by a boy in a girl's bathroom. They
had a relationship with, and yes. He came in to attack her.
Yes. And there's some evidence or statement that he may have been wearing a skirt, not because he is trans, but just because that's what he happened to be wearing that day. But the right wing has totally lied about this and turned this into a trans bathroom issue. And that was a big factor in the Virginia governor's race. It was all over Fox News for weeks, and it's all a complete lie.
Right. And let's turn to Franklin, Massachusetts. At the school board meeting, an out gay student representative, Mackenzie Atwood, tried to address the rights and treatment of protected classes. She's a gay student herself. And here's what happened. We have videotape.
Everyone is protected by the school, no matter what your race is, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your gender identity is, to be specific, and no matter what your sexuality is, religion, everyone is protected. And we know that because we're in the United States of America. I mean, everyone is protected, though it's not what is not clear about school environment is that though everyone is said to be protected, that is not followed through. So kids every single day, and being in theater, there's obviously that stereotype that everyone in theater is gay. And yeah, you can say that it's pretty true because a lot of us are gay and it's somewhere where we can be comfortable. And that's a safe space. But when kids are coming to theater every single day telling me, oh, I got called a faggot in the hall today, or I got called a racial slur in the hall today, that's not something to, you know, joke about, though it's become something that we're so numb to that it becomes a joke. So I think it's important to understand that, yes, everyone is protected at the school, but being someone who is Caucasian is not something that you're getting bullied about.
Keep going, please.
Being homosexual, which, may I say, I am gay. Tell me what you want about that. I am being personally attacked in school about this.
It's extremely disgusting that
you can look me in the eyes and say that I'm not being oppressed at the school.
You will be asked to leave. Please sit down.
I think they should ban adults from the meetings.
This is the indoctrination. That's what a parent was yelling at this poor girl.
Right. And the superintendent announced the disruption and sent a letter to parents about this appalling violation of the school's core values. But hey, you're the superintendent. Your core values need to be, let's train everybody about these issues so that we don't get this kind of ugliness directed at this young woman.
Well, you know, bravo to her for her courage and her honesty. We see it week after week. These kids are so brave and so smart. And these parents, as you say, should be banned from most human interaction. They're just loathsome in their behavior.
Speaking of loathsomeness, Franklin Graham is demanding that foreign nations refuse entry to Americans with gender neutral passports. How about banning Franklin Graham from these countries?
And he assures us he is very loving towards LGBTQ people.
I don't like that kind of love.
Nothing against us at all. He's fine. All right. Let's go back to his statements. Now in better news, this weekend on Saturday, we'll see the official launching of the USNS Harvey Milk in San Diego. There's Harvey in his Navy uniform, quite a few years ago, the late Harvey. And that is the ship, U.S. naval ship Harvey Milk, launching at 9 a.m. Pacific time in San Diego. You're all welcome to go down to the pier and watch the ceremony.
No, you're not. It's not an open thing because of COVID. So you can live stream it at NASSCO.com. That's the General Dynamics website. And it'll take you to Facebook. I mean, you can watch it. It's going to be live streamed. This was a campaign led by gay activist Nicole Ramirez Murray.
Legendary San Diego activist. We noted a little political note this week. New York Governor Kathy Hochul was celebrating her chief of staff, who's an out gay man, Jeff Lewis. And the story of how they met is kind of cute. They're from the same town, Hamburg, New York, upstate. And he was out in a snowstorm, a blizzard, demonstrating against the Iraq war. And she drove by and saw him and stopped and talked to him and ended up hiring him. And now he's her chief of staff.
And we've had this past week, Kathy Hochul is our first woman governor. She succeeded the disgraced Andrew Cuomo when he resigned. And
being prosecuted.
And we're looking at our attorney general, Tish James, has declared for that. And apparently the public advocate, Jumaane Williams, who just got reelected, is looking at it. And Mayor de Blasio is looking at the race.
No comment yet. But I will comment about a real heroine we lost this week, Elaine Romagnoli, age 77. Elaine was a real New York City legend. She, in 1971, 50 years ago, created one of the first lesbian bar restaurants, Bonnie and Clyde's. I used to go to Bonnie's upstairs, but it was, and downstairs was the pool room and bar. It was the hangout place in the 70s. And Elaine was just a fantastic hostess who really made a safe, warm, welcoming place, really created community and a family there at Bonnie's. And then she went on to found the Cubby Hole in 1981, which is still operating. Bonnie's is long gone. The Cubby Hole in 81, Crazy Nannies in 83, Bonnie's by the Bay on the North Fork and the Sunset Strip. She was just beloved by everyone, and she welcomed artists and performers. She held a lot of fundraisers there. She was president of the North Fork Women for Women Fund out on the North Shore of Long Island, the North Fork, for a year. And she was a legend. Everybody knew Elaine, and everyone treasured her because she was such an important creator of community for so many years. There's going to be a memorial service for her, or celebration of her life, on November 21st at the Stonewall Inn at 11:30 a.m. We'll give you more details as we get closer to that.
Okay. And another gay pioneer, Wakefield Poole, who revolutionized gay male erotica with the Boys in the Sand in 1971. He decided that erotic films for gay men especially were trashy and, you know, not very good. So he put a lot of production values into it. And he made this film, advertised it in the New York Times, created a box office sensation. I mean, people attending the movie included Nureyev, Angela Lansbury, Liza Minnelli, Ann Halston. And he made Bijou, also with significant box office. Now, earlier he had worked as a dancer and choreographer in the ballet Roost of Monte Carlo and on Broadway in 74. But, you know, this changed his life, which certainly had its ups and downs. There's a documentary on him called I Always Said Yes, The Many Lives of Wakefield Poole. But don't forget, he was doing this when sodomy was illegal in New York. And so he's making a film about it on Fire Island. And there it is, Boys in the Sand.
Yeah, I don't know about access to the movie Boys in the Sand. Maybe you can find that online. I know you can find I Always Say Yes, or I Always Said Yes, online, because I looked that up this morning. He fell into addiction in later years, but then he pulled himself out of that and became a chef and died at 85, a long, productive, important life.
Who says there are no second acts? In Pennsylvania, the Trump-backed candidate for U.S. Senate, Sean Parnell, is in a custody battle with his estranged wife, Lori Snell, who testified that he strangled or abused their kids and told her to get an abortion during their marriage. Sounds like a Trump kind of guy. It'd be a shame to lose him because he'll be a lot easier to beat next year.
Don't be so sure.
He denies all.
Yeah, well, exactly. Don't be careful what you wish for. A tragic story out of Boise, Idaho. Trans woman Jo Acker, 26 years old, was working as a security guard at a mall. And it, you may have read about this in the news last week. There was a big shooting at the mall, as happens these days. And she tried to intervene and stop the shooter, and she was shot dead.
26 years old, trying to protect others. The other who was killed was Roberto Padilla Aguiles, 49, an immigrant from Mexico. The perpetrator was a far-right gun rights extremist who stalked local anti-fascists at a rally in April. Joe had a 3-year-old daughter, Everay, and 5 sisters, as well as a stepbrother. Her family said she was a hero, the type of person that always wanted to help people.
She was an Army veteran and went into doing security work.
And in Banks, Oregon, trans woman Jessie Hart, 42, was killed. Body found on October 17th in the woods outside the small town, 26 miles west of Portland. Detectives suspect foul play and believe she died 2 weeks before being found. Hart had lost her job and home when she transitioned back in 2016.
She had done an interview for a local paper there in Oregon, and that led to her being kicked out of the motel where she was living. Motel. She was living in her car with her teenage son. He, at last report, was missing, but a tragic, tragic loss again. And a lighter, better story in Baltimore, Maryland. The Museum of Art got the John Waters art collection willed to it. And in return, John asked that they make some all-gender restrooms and name them after him. And there he is at the dedication ceremony. Congratulations.
So I'm sitting there watching CBS Sunday Morning, and Cal Penn, who I like, I know him from the movie Namesake, and of course he worked for the Obama White House. Well, there he is on the right there with his husband. Well, not husband yet. I think they're planning to get married, right?
Yes, fiance.
Fiance, Josh. We're only hearing Josh. And, you know, this is coming out in his memoir, which is called You Can't Be Serious. And, you know, he's 44 years old. He's engaged. He also says he discovered his sexual orientation late in life and that he almost didn't pursue Josh when Josh showed up for their first date with an 18-pack of Coors Light and switched the TV on to NASCAR, which they now watch every Sunday.
And in other engagement news, I'm sorry, girls. Kristen Stewart, it makes me sad. Kristen Stewart on the left there is engaged to her girlfriend of several years, Dylan Meyer. She announced it rather casually. I don't know how firm these plans are, but Kristen and Dylan, who are posing there as if they were golfers, obviously a picture we couldn't resist. Kristen says she wants a chill wedding in Topanga where she wears jeans and a t-shirt that looks like a tuxedo. All of this is in the news because her movie where she plays Princess Diana is opening. This is Spencer, which got a lot of great reaction at Cannes.
Oscar buzz.
It's opening at the Village East movie theater this weekend in New York. Kristen is appearing in person Friday night to do a Q&A after one of the showings and then introduce the next one. Sold out. No.
Well, no. those two met 7 years ago on a movie set.
And then they didn't see each other for 6 years, and then they reconnected, and all is well and happy.
Tell me about the Vikings, Anne. Tell me about the Vikings.
So the Minnesota Vikings football team has an employee, Amy Werbein, who is their guest relations coordinator. And she is now engaged to her girlfriend, Colleen Caffrey, who she admits is a Packers fan. But they were surprised at the game this weekend when the Vikings put this up on their stadium billboard. Amy and Colleen, congratulations. They didn't know this was coming. They were shocked, thrilled. So the Vikings are on board for lesbian weddings.
All right. Are we off to international news?
Yes.
Poland is voting on a bill to ban pride parades and other gestures of support for LGBTQ people. There were 300 who protested that.
Yeah, that's not good news. And in other political news, in Italy, the Senate there has killed a bill to bar hate crimes and discrimination against LGBTQ people, women, the disabled. It had already been approved by the Chamber of Deputies, but the Senate has rejected it. The Vatican was highly opposed to this law, of course.
They said it could restrict their religious freedom of the anti-LGBT, anti-woman Catholic Church.
Yeah, they didn't want to be forced to have women priests or support same-sex marriage. None of which was necessarily mandated by this. But what we have is a few seconds of film of the reaction in the Italian Senate when the bill was defeated.
Come on.
Horrible.
It was a 154 to 131 vote, so I guess they were excited because they weren't sure they were going to win. The opponents.
Well, just really depressing to see the Senate cheering the defeat of a non-discrimination bill.
In the United Kingdom, a revival of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods at the Old Vic that Monty Python star Terry Gilliam was set to direct was canceled following unrest from staff because of his anti-trans, his anti-Me Too, his fight, you know, and his racial comments. He called Me Too a witch hunt and said, I should be able to identify as a Black lesbian in transition. So the staff said, we don't want to work with him.
Who was this who said it?
Terry Gilliam. Oh. You know, the old Monty Python.
Yes, yes, yes. I just lost track of who it was who was speaking. And ugly story from Israel where Gal Yuchovsky, who was the president of the Israel Gay Youth Organization, has resigned his position because he has been accused of sexually assaulting men. He's a TV personality there, very well-known journalist, screenwriter, movie producer. But he's out, and we'll see whether these accusations come to anything.
Back in the United Kingdom, 29 LGBTQ Afghans who fled because of homophobia landed in London as part of the first wave of those being evacuated to avoid execution by the Taliban. They
were freed from Afghanistan by the Rainbow Railroad Organization, headquartered in Canada, which works to help those in the Middle East escape. And they say that the Taliban has a kill list. Well, meanwhile, the Taliban is saying, we support human rights. We're in favor of them, sort of. But for LGBTs, no. That's against Sharia law.
We're not human. And
if
the railroad has fielded 700 requests for help and identified at least 200 who need immediate help, they're calling on the United States and Canada to help.
But if any of those refugees get into the UK illegally, undocumented, they are very likely to face rejection and be deported back to wherever they came from.
Okay. All right. In Tunisia, in Tunis, two cops brutally beat the director of the LGBT rights group. This is Badir Babou of the Damj Association for Justice and Equality there, amid rising abuse of LGBT activists by security forces. They took his wallet, ID, phone, his laptop, which has confidential information about the group's supporters. They filed scores of complaints against the police, so they beat and choked him. Bystanders tried to intervene, but the cops said, this is the penalty for those who insult police and file complaints against us. That's a familiar tune. He suffered a concussion, injuries to his neck, face, obviously, that you saw there. You know, Tunisia still criminalizes same-sex relations.
And in Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria, the LGBTQ community center was ransacked by a group of right-wingers, including an ultra-nationalist candidate for president. This is what the presidential candidate is breaking into the LGBTQ center.
It's 10 men. And, yeah. And the trans community gathering there was happening, and they smacked the coordinator.
The U.S. and other embassies.
Eric, before you leave Bulgaria, the Constitutional Court just ruled that the word gender only applies in the biological sense, and that's in quotes.
As I was about to say, the U.S. embassy and other embassies lodged formal complaints about the break-in at the community center. And in Mexico, FIFA, the International Soccer Federation, is punishing the Mexican soccer team because its fans are still making homophobic chants at their home games. So they're into World Cup qualifying matches now. And for the next two matches in Mexico, there will be no fans allowed, and the team has been fined $110,000.
In Japan, six major opposition parties have promised to present bills next year protecting LGBTQ rights and legalizing same-sex marriage. But the Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, said his party has no plans to submit such bills.
Moving on.
AIDS news. The FDA has given final approval to human trials for a possible functional cure for an innovative treatment called EBT-101 from Excision Biotherapeutics using CRISPR gene editing technology modifying human DNA. It involves cutting out several pieces of the HIV genome, which they think will, or posit, will render it incapable of mutating in the body. It could leave small amounts of the HIV gene in the genome in the body, but not enough to test positive for HIV. So if it's successful, people with HIV could stop taking antiretroviral drugs.
So in this trial, they're gonna try this, and then 6 months after this one dose experiment, they're gonna try taking people off their current meds to see if in fact the virus has stopped replicating.
It's still a big problem. There are 37.7 million people living with HIV worldwide.
And well, if a one-dose treatment could stop replication of the virus, that would be a huge boon to those 37 million people.
Well, let's get that COVID vaccine around the world, too.
That, too. And Moderna is also currently testing a COVID-like vaccine, an mRNA vaccine against HIV. So we'll see how they get with that. I'm also in the science category, fascinated by the story in the New York Times this week about how scientists in California have discovered parthenogenesis among endangered condors. Replication, reproduction without male involvement. Female condors able to produce chicks without any male sperm. We know about parthenogenesis as a possibility in various species, although not yet in human beings that we know of. But they're studying all of this, and it's just a fascinating article. It's rare in birds, it turns out, but right. Now they found it in these condors.
Entertainment news?
Yes.
Grey's Anatomy has cast a non-binary actor as the first non-binary doctor, a recurring character called Kai Bartley, played by ER Fightmaster. Kai will appear on the November 11th episode of the show, which had previously cast trans actor Alex Blue Davis as surgical resident Casey Parker.
And the video game Battlefield 2042 is also including a black non-binary character called Sundance.
All right, I watched the Colin Kaepernick, Ana DuVernay Netflix series, trying to redeem themselves over there. Colin in Black and White, that's the young star, Jaden Michael, there with Colin. They're both in the show. So you have this coming of age story as a young athlete of young Colin. And then you have Colin giving adult, real Colin, giving all this commentary, starting off with comparing the NFL draft and what do they call it, the combine, to a slave auction. And he explains microaggressions, and he integrates that with the story of this kid and the stuff that he went through as a young person coming up in sports. So I'd recommend it.
Okay. Well, I continue to follow developments on Dancing with the Stars, and it was a real shocker this week when JoJo Siwa and her partner again got the highest marks from the judges, but ended up in the bottom when the final votes were tallied, including audience votes. So they were in the bottom two, and it's only because the judges voted to save them. I apologize for the light here. The sun and the shadows are doing this to me. So they were saved, but the audience has turned on them. The audience is not voting for JoJo. So if you have any interest in this, and God knows I don't really, but if you want JoJo to go on succeeding on Dancing with the Stars, you're going to have to watch the show and vote for her.
She was doing so well.
She was doing brilliantly, and she's still doing brilliantly in her performances. But the flavor of the week changes, and I think others are picking up audience popularity. But she has a new dance show coming up on Peacock later this month, so JoJo's doing okay.
So a lot of you know Josh O'Connor, the actor from The Crown. He played gay the first time we saw him in the movie God's Own Country. And he's going to do gay again in a World War I era drama called The History of Sound with Paul Mescal about two men who set out to record the lives, voices, and music of their USA countrymen. So not only is he taking a gay role, but he's taking an American role. And they fall madly in love. It's based on a short story by Ben Shattuck, directed by Oliver Aramis, who did the gay drama Muffy earlier this year.
Now, you're going to have to wait till for a year or two for that to show up, because they're not starting filming till next summer. But coming up immediately on Amazon Prime on November 12th, Mayor Pete, the documentary about Pete Buttigieg's run for president. At first, I thought this would be pretty standard and predictable, but people who've seen it say it's actually more interesting than that. So that's November 12th on Amazon Prime.
And there's one you can see right now from the LA Times. They premiered their Oscar, they're calling this an Oscar contender, The Beauty President, about LGBTQ black drag queen presidential candidate Joan Jett Black in 1992. We're going to link to it in our email, and you will see Joan on the floor of the 92 convention holding a gay cable network, our old outfit, microphone.
Yeah, I remember Joan very vividly. She was a great activist. Also coming up in a few days, next week on November 17th, season two, Tiger King 2 on Netflix. The further adventures of Joe Exotic, still in jail, and his, I don't want to say friends, but Carol Baskin, who he is accused of trying to kill, and others. Universal, meanwhile, is proceeding with filming it as a scripted series with John Cameron Mitchell as Joe Exotic and Kate McKinnon as Carol. That should be interesting.
So when was it? Monday. I went to the celebration of the life of Terrence McNally. He died 18 months ago. He was at 81. He died of COVID, and they couldn't do the gathering of the clan, you know, of us until now because of COVID. So they did it in the Broadway house. It was packed, and this was the best show I've seen in years. I mean, a show. I mean, the people who got up and spoke about him. It was inspiring. It was funny. I'm writing about it for the Gay City News, so I'll send along the article. But, you know, he really loved actors. He loved his partners, two of whom died of AIDS. And Tom Curtehy, of course, his final partner for the last 20 years. He nurtured young people, and he made the careers of Nathan Lane and Audra McDonald and Joe Mantello and Christine Baranski. And when they got up to talk about him, they had trouble maintaining their composure, even though they said wonderful things. We're really going to, I mean, the whole world is going to miss Terrence McNally.
And he was such a nice guy. You know, he was completely down to earth. He wasn't pretentious. He wasn't, above it all. And he was just a great guy to run into and talk to. And I'm glad they did a huge tribute to him. Sorry I missed it. Was it recorded?
There was a camera there, and I would be devastated if it's not going to be shown online. It should be available to everybody. It really should be.
Well, if you hear anything about that, you can put a link in our show notes whenever.
And
be sure to alert me.
I will.
Okay. The trans employees at Netflix have filed a complaint with the National Labor Relations Board for being fired and suspended in retaliation for their complaints against Dave Chappelle. They're not going quietly on this.
What do we think? Did we talk about this controversy over the Webb telescope?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, NASA has named this telescope for this guy. Webb,
James Webb. James Webb, the senator, right?
No, it wasn't the senator.
James Webb.
Who was it? He was a guy, a NASA leader. But apparently he worked for, you know, the government during the Lavender Scare. So Dan Savage is saying, why are we naming a thing after him? Now, he didn't play a central role in the Lavender Scare. But a lot of the scientists who, you know, want to make a statement for gay rights are saying, change the name of this telescope. Of course, you might bring up the fact that Franklin D. Roosevelt did a gay purge back in the 19-teens when he was Assistant Secretary of the Navy in Newport.
And let's go back to the racism of Woodrow Wilson.
Well, we got rid of him, didn't we? And the Wilson School.
Yeah, but I think there's more we could reveal about him. At any rate, we're down to our last 10 seconds. So that's our action-packed show for this week.
We're wrung out, but we'll be back next week.
We're resting up.